This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to continue the series that we started last week, and I titled last week's sermon, Acceptable Offering. And today we're going to just continue, call it Acceptable Offering, part two. What I'd like to do, because I know there's a lot of people that were not here last Sunday that are here today, I'm just going to do a very quick recap. And if you need more information, which I'm sure you will, you can get the CD and that will help you out. So the last time we started off by talking about obedience. And I said obedience is the key. It is important. And that is what God requires of each and every one of us. The Bible says to us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, 22. It says to obey is better than sacrifice. So it is better to just obey God than to disobey and say, I will make up for it later. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And there are some interesting things that I also saw in scripture. Nehemiah, you remember Nehemiah very well. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and the 5th verse, Nehemiah said, as he was praying to God, he said, oh Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. So God keeps his covenant, but he only keeps them with those who love him and obey his commands. Daniel 9 verse 4 says almost exactly the same thing. And here's what Daniel said as he was praying as well. He said, oh Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. So when we talk about abundant life in Christ Jesus, the key to enjoying abundant life in Christ Jesus is what? Obedience. It's not a trick question. It's obedience. Is obedience. He said he keeps his covenant, but only with those who love him and obey his commands. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 21, John 14, 21, Jesus said, those who accept my commands, our commandments, and obey me, them are the ones who love me. So those who don't obey, he's saying they don't love him. They don't love him. First John chapter 2 and the third verse. First John chapter 2, the third verse. He said, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. He's saying the proof that I know God is my obedience to the commandments of God in my life. So the things that I've read in scripture, the things that I've been taught from the scripture in the church, is saying those things I must obey. And as I obey, that is proof that I know God. So if I am disobedient to the commandments of God, it means I don't know him. Hallelujah. So this is the reason why in Salvation Center, we are committed to teaching the word of God. And Pastor Bode told us earlier on, you know, last Tuesday, after we finished Bible study, at least four people came and met me. In fact, one person in particular said to me, he said, oh man, Pastor, this is Sunday material. More people need to hear this. I said, we don't have 1.5 hours to preach on Sunday. I have 35 minutes left, so let me continue. You know, but listen to this. Listen to this. We don't give sound bites. That's why we try to dig deep and support every argument with scripture. So, listen. You cannot do right if you don't know, if you don't have the right information. Amen? To do right, you need the right kind of information. And that's what the scripture offers to us. Our text from last week, we're going to read again, is Genesis chapter 4 from verse 1 through 10. Genesis chapter 4 from 1 to 10. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. And when she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd. We talked about this last week. While Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. When we read in the King James, the New King James Version says, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." We defined what the process of time is last week. So let's continue. Verse 4. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel's gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." Amen. Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know." Cain responded, "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground." So last week, I told us there's five things I wanted to bring out from this text. And we went as far as number three, I believe. So number one, I made the point that Adam and Eve moved past their sin. They moved on. Because the Bible says they had sexual relations, they had sons, they had Cain, they had Abel. They moved on with their life. Because once they sinned and God atoned for their sin, he killed an animal and made covering for them from the animal. God atoned for their sin, but the consequence was still upon them. They were kicked out of the garden. But they came out of the garden, they continued to live. They didn't get stuck where they were. The lesson from there is simple. It does not matter where you have been. The Bible says God will cast all of our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. He said, "Your sins will I remember no more." So stop reminding him. Once you have repented and God has forgiven you, you can move on. Look at your neighbor. Say, "You can move on." You can move on. You can move past it. You can move past it. Praise the Lord. And number two, we saw that they had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a crop farmer and Abel was a shepherd. And then we define the phrase "in the process of time." For those of you that have our church app, everybody should have it. If you just go on Google Store and Apple Store and all those things, look for RCCG Salvation Center, you find our app. The sermon note is on the app, Acceptable Offering Part 2. So we defined the process of time last week, and it's very important that we understand this. I asked us the question, when the Bible says in the process of time, one became a shepherd and one became a farmer, what exactly is he talking about? How old are these guys approximately at this time in the process of time? And somebody said probably 20 because, you know, they are working now. They are of working age. But we reminded ourselves that in the time dispensation that they lived in, they lived up to 900 years. So a 20-year-old was an infant at that time. Amen. So in the process of time, we said Probably they are like 150, 200 years of age. That was what we agreed on. I hope we still have agreement. Okay. If you don't, just follow on. So number three, we talked about the first principles. We talked about the first principles. We said the first humans created were Adam and Eve. The first humans born of a woman were Cain and Abel. And the first act of the first humans born of a woman was they gave an offering. That's the first thing the scripture recorded that they did. It didn't record their praise and worship. It didn't record their prayer. It didn't record any of that. The first thing that is recorded that they did was the offering they gave. And in this text that we have read is the first mention of offering in the Bible. So it is significant. And it is also significant because at least the first offering that was ever given, the first record of giving an offering in the Bible, one was accepted and the other was not. So it makes it very, very important for us to understand. And I told us that the Hebrew word that was translated offering is minhah. Minhah. Don't let's get wound up on the pronunciation. I'm probably not saying it right too. You know, but the meaning, we said minhah is used in scripture in three contexts. Several contexts, but we chose three. It could be a gift, and we talked about a gift last week. But number two, and we said a gift is voluntary, it's not coerced, you are not compelled, it's a free will thing that you give. So your offering in church can be a free will offering. Amen? You give it freely. Nobody is compelling you. And that is why we take salmon after the offering. So nobody is saying, I know where this is going. I know where it's going. They want to receive offering. That's why he's talking about offering. We already received the offering. This is for knowledge and for truth. So B, the B, if you are following on the app, the B, the blank there, is tribute. Tribute. A tribute is a payment that is made periodically by one state or ruler to another, especially as a sign of dependence. Payment owed to a higher authority. So sometimes an offering can be involuntary. You may be compelled to give. So we read in scripture, when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, it talks about the Philistines bringing gifts of silver as tribute to Jehoshaphat. The Bible says, because God so helped Jehoshaphat, his fear came upon all the people and they brought tributes to him. The word tribute here is the word minhah. It's the same word that we saw in Genesis chapter 4 that means an offering. And here, in this context, it is used as a tribute. You see the tribute even in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when you read the story in Matthew 22, 16 to 22, we're not going to read it. Matthew 22, 16 to 22, the Bible says the Pharisees came with some of the guys from the palace. And they were trying to get Jesus in trouble. So they asked him, they said, Master, we know you tell the truth. We know you are a very powerful man. You don't fear anybody. You say it as it is. They were asking him, they said, is it okay that we pay our tribute to Caesar? He looked at them and he laughed. He said, give me the coin. They gave him the coin. He flipped it over. He said, whose image is here? They said, Caesar. I said, so give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. He said, pay your tribute. Pay your vow. Pay your due. Pay what is due unto you. And in our term, in our time, it is called taxes. In fact, Uncle Sam doesn't wait for you to voluntarily give it. Before you get your check, it is taken. That is why people ask questions. So when I pay my tithe, do I pay tithe of the gross or the net? Because the other part never got into my hand. That's a story for another day. We won't get into that. But if you are following on the app, I put a number of scriptures there for you to see. I want us to get to the nitty-gritty today. See, your gift can also be a sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Your gift, your offering, can be a sacrifice. So the question is, what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else that is regarded as more important. So when I'm making a sacrifice, I'm giving away something that is precious to me because I am trusting that I'm going to get something very valuable, more valuable than what I have given. I'm going to get it back. Praise the Lord. That is a sacrifice. You know the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 24. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, the Bible tells us that Satan moved David to sin against God. And when he sinned against God and there was repercussions, the prophet came to him and the prophet said to him, okay, to atone for your sin, this is what God will have you do. And the Bible says David was looking for a place. He wanted to build an altar where he's going to give a sacrifice. And this gentleman called Arauna, or whatever, however it's pronounced, Arauna is in the Bible. This guy came to him. He said, oh, my lord, the king, I will give you my field for nothing. You just go make your sacrifice unto the Lord. And David responded to Arauna in verse 24 of chapter 24, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24, 24. Then the king said to Arauna, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. What is he saying? A sacrifice must cost you something. You see, many of us have gotten used to tipping God. It's like a tip we give to God every Sunday when we come. I can say this boldly and confidently because you already gave your offering. So I'm not saying this to move you to give. I'm saying this to correct your notion and help you on the right path. Right information is the only way right decisions can be made. Your offering must cost you something. In fact, literally, every example of an offering in the New Testament was a sacrifice. At least those that were commended. Every offering that was commended in the New Testament was a sacrificial offering. Number one, the widow's mite. In Luke chapter 21, 1 to 4, the Bible says Jesus went to the temple and he stood by the corner and he was watching as people were dropping their offering in the offering bowl. It means back in those days, offering was not secret. Everybody saw, they saw what you brought to church. So Jesus stood there and was looking at them, what they were putting there. And at the end of the day, he said, this woman gave the most. They were like, what? He said, what did she give? He said, she gave a mite. He said, a mite? What can a mite even buy in this economy? And Jesus said to them, he said, the reason she gave the most is because she gave all that she had. It was a sacrifice. That woman was challenging God, was saying, Lord, I will give you my all so you can do your best for me. An offering in the New Testament is a sacrifice. Somebody says sacrifice. Secondly, in the early church, the Bible tells us, he said they sold everything and they had one purse. Do you know the reason there is poverty in the church is partly because this system is not encouraged. Listen to me. To whom much is given, much is required. Somebody came and met me. Yeah, it was last Sunday after service. Somebody came and met me and said, Pastor, it's my birthday next month. I'm not having a party. I don't even want you to announce it. I don't want you to say anything about it. But for my birthday, please, anybody in the church that is going through a difficult time, I want to give an offering to be a blessing to them. So that's how I want to celebrate my birthday. So I don't want a party. I don't want none of that. I don't want gifts from anybody. I don't want any mention of my birthday. But I'm going to give an offering to help somebody in the church who is going through a hard time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people think this rug is beautiful? We are not done. We are moving on as God is helping us. We're buying new chairs. We're putting new floor all over. And it will be done by the grace of God. It will be done. Listen to me. Somebody came to the office and said, is there any ongoing project in the church? I said, the person is asking the wrong question. In Salvation Center, we always have a project. There is always a project. A friend of mine saw me recently. He said, did you guys move? I said, why? He said, I watch you on Facebook. It doesn't look like the same church. I said, it's the same church. You just need to come back and visit. Hallelujah. And the individual said, they told the person, they said, oh, we want to put a new rug on the stage. And the person said, how much? Said 3,500 and change. And the person wrote a check for 3,600. That is New Testament giving. Forget about the people that are telling you, oh, tithe is obsolete, offering is this. We're going to get to it later on. But when it comes to New Testament giving, this is what the Bible says. Acts chapter 4, chapter 30, verse 32. Acts chapter 4, from 32. The Bible says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them. Because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyrus, and sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. That's a problem. He's from the tribe of Levi. Where did he get land? But don't let's go there. That's not the topic for today. It's for another day. But you get my drift. In this church, statistically, research has shown that in every church, it's only about 30% of the people that support the work of 100% of the church. A given everywhere. So the reason the mission of Salvation Center is continuing is not because everybody is giving their best. It's because about 30% of the membership is sacrificing and giving their utmost best. I pray God will touch your heart and you will change your mind. So we will move the percentage from 30 to maybe 70 and maybe 90 until we become 100% in the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about the Macedonians, the Macedonian church. Number three, the Macedonian church. I'm talking about sacrifice, offering in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. Listen to that. They are what? Say it like you mean it. It's the Bible. It's not you. You are not calling them poor. In fact, the Bible didn't call them poor. You'll be lying if you say they were poor. He said they were very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy. So their joy was not dependent on stuff. I told you about my friend back in the day when he didn't have money, when he was broke. It's easy to know. He has malaria. He's sick. He's running high fever. I kid you not. Verse 2. He said, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. They are very poor. They had many troubles, but they were full of joy and they were very generous in spite of their poverty. Listen to verse 3. It blows me away every time I read this. He said, I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They went beyond. He said, not only did they give what they could afford, but they went far beyond. And they did it of their own free will. Number 4, under sacrifice, listen to this. Christ gave his life. He didn't give his hand. He didn't give his leg. He didn't say, cut my hand and let the blood flow. Amen. He gave his life. He died. He died. When it comes to New Testament giving, it has to be a sacrifice for it to be acceptable. Can somebody say a good amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, the Bible says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Very quickly, let's begin to wrap this up now. So the fourth thing we have talked about, wow, Luther, good to see you, Luther. Let's put our hands together for Luther. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So the first thing was Adam and Eve, they moved on. The second thing that we talked about is that they had two sons. And the third thing is the first principles. And now number 4, let's look at the first offering in Scripture. The first offering in Scripture. One was accepted and one was rejected. So the Bible says in the process of time, and we have defined process of time, in the process of time, they brought their offerings. Amen? One was accepted and the other was not. Let's listen to how the offering of Cain was described. Genesis chapter 4 verse 3, the Bible says, when it was time for harvest or in the process of time, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. And I told you last week, don't believe all the nonsense they have said to you that he brought rotten yam and leftover stuff. No. He brought some of the crops from the ground. That's what he brought. And I dare say that the stuff he brought were good. He didn't bring leftover. He brought some. Let's look at Abel's offering. Say, and Abel brought also the firstborn of his flock and of his fatness. Listen to me. The difference between the offering of Cain and the offering of Abel is very simple. When you are a farmer and you plant crops, all your crops will not mature at the same time. There are some that they describe as the first to mature. The first to mature. The first to mature is the first fruit. It's the first fruit. Listen to me. You must live life by revelation. I'll say it again. You must live your life by revelation. Don't live life by what sounds good or what is comfortable. You must live by what? Please say it loudly. By revelation. Because Abel caught a revelation that Cain missed. Abel understood something that the first one that came must belong to God. So last week we assumed from our calculations, we can't go over it now. From our calculations, we said by this time, Abel probably had, we were using goats. How many goats did we say? Huh? 3,000. That was our estimate. Of course, it could have been more. But we estimated about 3,000, assuming it started with 30. We said by this time, he probably had 3,000 goats. If he had 3,000 goats at this time, the Bible says, let's read again. It says, don't take it away. Abel also brought a gift. Listen, the best, somebody said the best. The best of the firstborn lambs of his flock. You know, when you read that, the general thought in people's mind is, so Abel brought one fat goat and offered to the Lord. Lie. You see what is written there? It said firstborn lambs, plural. So every time his goat had two kids, he marked the first. The first that came out, he marked it. The next time they give birth and is the first one that comes out, he marks it. The first one that comes out, he marks it. The first one that comes out, he marks it. So if 30 has become 3,000, you deduct 30 from 3,000. What do you get? 2,970. And if we go by the principle of 2-2, if we go by the principle of 2-2, you divide 2,970 by 2, you have 1,400. Help me. Something. Over 1,000. So let's rack our brains over that. The offering that Abel brought before the Lord that day was at least 1,000 animals. And again, I told you, if, listen to this, watch this now, to see how one is significant over the other. If each animal gave birth to two, and he gave one of the two to the Lord, what percentage is that? 50%. 50%. So Abel gave half of everything he had unto the Lord. But Cain, on the other hand, just went and gathered some of the crops. It didn't matter to him if he was the first to mature or the last to mature. He just gathered some. It was the revelation behind the gift that gave Abel the breakthrough he had with God. May the Lord open your eyes of understanding. May the Lord open your eyes of understanding from this day going forward. Every time you give, listen to me. Everybody look up. Every time you give, you must ask the Lord, Lord, what must I give? What must I give? You cannot assume because you gave, God accepted. Lie. Because Cain gave, and he gave a lot. It was just not good enough. So the fact that I give does not mean it is acceptable unto the Lord. Abel gave the firstborn of all he gave unto the Lord. This was before it was even made a law. This is pre, you know, when you look at the book of Genesis is not really, in the real sense of it, it's not really part of the Old Testament. Because this predates Moses and the law and it predates all of that. Everything that happened here is between God and the people. Directly. There was no law. There was nothing. There was nothing. And he thought that, Lord, for life and for everything you have given me, I'm going to give you the very best of me. The question I have for somebody today is, are you giving God the best of you? Or are you giving God just some of you? It might still be a good part you are giving, but are you giving him all, the very best that you can give him? The Bible says that Abel brought a gift, the best. Somebody said the best. He gave the very best, the very best. And I know this has happened to you before. You put your hand in your pocket, you want to give an offering, you brought it out, you said, I bind the devil. You check the other pocket. So it doesn't look like I'm giving an offering today. You know, and everybody dances forward, so you just... You didn't drop anything. You know that. You're just forming. Hallelujah. The first offering ever reported in Scripture, one was accepted and the other was rejected. And I put it to you today, the one that was accepted because it was given by revelation. Nobody told him. Nobody told him that the firstborn belongs to God, because there was no rule. There was no guidance to that effect. But he knew it by the Spirit, that if I have all of this, and he understood that all that he had been given to him, why should I hold back from the one that gave me everything? He didn't want to be like the little child. You give them a pack of cookies, and then you go back and meet the child, say, give me a cookie. He said, no, mine. That's how many of us live today. We hold on to stuff. We hang on to stuff. We act as if that is all that counts. In the book of Solomon, the Bible says that everything that the man has amassed, said the people that knew nothing of it are the ones that are going to spend all that wealth that he has amassed. Please rise to your feet. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. And say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of
my soul. Breath of heaven, me till I want no
been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.